Let's talk about tweets and take a quiz so we can find out who the smartest one is. What happened this week in Survivor?
Yeah, what a week in Survivor here. This week in Survivor season finale edition. And I'm back here one more time in 2019. Last time for the decade with Mr. Jordan Kalish. Jordan, how are you?
Doing well, and you know, it's sad that that's the last time we get to hear Will from America's great song this season, but you know, it's only what is it, 7 weeks until Survivor All Winners, so I think we can we'll be able to hear it again pretty soon.
Yes, the Survivor Groundhog has seen its shadow. Only 6 more weeks of off season to go until Survivor is back with season 40, Winners at War, which I'm sure will come up at some point today as we talk with America's favorite urologist and mine as well. Here is Dr. Mike Zahalski.
I'm really confused right now, guys.
What?
I'm confused on so many levels. First, I thought this was know-it-alls. I'm listening for the know-it-alls music. I'm like, Survivor know-it-alls. And instead I got you this other music going on.
You thought sometimes we do Survivor know-it-alls like 5 days after the episode.
Listen, all I'm saying is that I thought this was Survivor know-it-alls. Am I not on with Steven?
Yeah.
Where's Steven?
This is Steven. You're on. This is Steven. He's a lot more low-key when it's not like right after the episode.
I don't get it.
He has a lot more trivia. Yes.
And then there's some other urologist that says he's America's favorite urologist.
Who?
It's like, who are you?
Who? You have a beef with another urologist? That's your ops?
No, I like the guy. He's a nice guy. But it's like this guy goes on the doctor's show. He talks about gelking. I'm like, you're stealing my thunder. And then you say that you're America's favorite urologist. Come on now.
Mm.
You don't want to get into a pissing contest with this guy.
No, I really don't.
Ew.
No. And I get the reference. That's funny. Pissing contest. If after my resume or my Eurolift or something, I'm happy to take it.
Okay. All right. So many questions for Dr. Mike. Here we are. Dr. Mike, how have you been?
I'm doing great.
You're doing great until what? Until you realized that this wasn't the know-it-alls or until the other guy came in and stole your thunder?
I don't think the other guy's trying to really steal my thunder. Mm-hmm. But and I can live with the fact that it's not the know-it-alls because didn't you ask me to be on the know-it-alls next season?
I did.
Didn't you? It's like the know-it-alls.
Okay. All right.
The know-it-alls. I mean, because then, you know, here's the thing.
Yeah.
I love Twitter.
Yes. Right?
Like, I get bored. I tweet. I get drunk. I tweet. Like, I just tweet a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And after all of these podcasts, people are always like, wow, Dr. Mike sort of understands Survivor. Like, sort of knows what he's talking about in Survivor. But
and then what?
It's only like, if I became like a know-it-all, then it's almost like established. It's like, if I had like a byline of America's favorite urologist, then it's like established I'm America's favorite urologist.
Yeah, because if you put it in your Twitter bio, it's
like,
canon.
I could be like, know-it-all.
Hmm. Hmm. Okay, well, let's now not worry like about that right now. Test. Yeah, let's just
be like, co-host, know-it-all.
You want to put that on your resume? I think that's fine, Dr. Mike.
I would like to put it on my resume. Right now, I mean, you're like podcast co-hosts are dropping like flies. Like I told you, how many years ago did I tell you there should be a Zickle room? And then you called me.
All right, Dr. Mike, we're not even talking about that right now. Dr. Mike, I need you to be here with me. I need you to be here with me. Because we're going to talk about the Survivor 39 season finale. And I know that you...
This week in Survivor history, like a year ago, Ziggle Room.
I know. I know that you are also fired up to talk a little bit about Survivor 40 for the first time.
For the first time, I am. I mean, Are we really going to actually talk about 39's finale?
I mean, is there anything that you want to say? Is there anything that you feel like that has been unsaid about Survivor 39? Would you like to, like Nora, would you like to speak the unspoken?
So, can we talk about Nora, actually?
Yes. Now, do you know Nora?
I do not know Nora.
Yes.
But and I'm a little bit too old to use this term, but I think I stan Nora.
Yeah, we... Yes. We stan a flavorful queen.
Yes. I mean, so she... What was the thing that she said at the Survivor finale that was so wise? Like, I think it was...
Yes, I think I have the clip for you, Dr. Mike.
So my point is stick out, stand out, be a peacock, excuse me. Be a peacock.
That's Nora.
Take your tail feathers. Go for it. Be you. Do it.
I think she went full Dr. Mike at the Survivor finale.
Laura went full Dr. Mike. But didn't she? I mean, I thought the thing before that, after that, where if you want to be heard, don't be part of the herd.
Yeah.
I mean, I always say it, that you don't want to necessarily take the road less traveled, but you want to take the well-traveled road at a slant.
Mm.
You know, you still want to get to where everybody like needs to get in life, where you want to be going, but at the same time, just do it a little differently than everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
It's not better. It's not worse. It's just different. And I think Nora approached the game differently than everybody else did. And whether, you know, I wasn't out there, does that mean that she had no strategy? Maybe. But, and if that's the case, I get why she did it. She was a no vote finalist, but I think she approached it differently. And on like an island of goats or a sea of goats, in terms of people picking these people to go with them, like they called it on a previous Survivor episode, I think to take Nora all the way to the end could have been a huge strategic mistake to some people if she could have verbalized it better. Why?
Yeah. Do you think a Survivor jury would be ready to vote for a Nora?
I mean, they weren't even ready to vote for a Michael.
White?
Yeah, like an emoji movie guy.
School of Rock.
And I think there was a movie worse than the emoji movie this year, by the way. Right?
what did you see?
No,
Cats?
It wasn't one. There wasn't one that I saw, but somebody like tweeted like worst movie of the year, worse than the emoji movie.
I don't think they said that. I don't think they said that, Dr. Mike. Please. It's the holidays.
Didn't you have a podcast about the worst movie of the year?
Did I do a podcast about the worst movie of the year? I did some podcasts about some bad movies this year, which I do, but I don't know if we did anything that we called the worst movie of the year. Do you remember what it was? Jordan, do you know?
No, this is not ringing a bell to me.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll get back to movie talk with Dr.
Maybe it was
Mike.
The Movie Morons podcast.
Maybe that was it. Dr. Mike, I would love to get your take on the Sia money. I feel like that you probably have some feelings about this. Now, Sia gave out three different awards on Wednesday night. She gave $100,000 to Elaine, $100,000 to Janet, and $15,000 to Jamal. But if memory serves me, for whatever reason, was Sia absent from the Survivor Heroes versus Healers versus Hustlers finale?
Okay, I have a couple of comments on this. First,
yes.
There was no Sia at our finale. We got no Sia money. I don't think, maybe Sia missed my season. But, I mean, it was a little, like Sia gets such good publicity in advertising and she seems like a wonderful person because she gives out money, but like, it seems to me like it's this giant advertising thing mm-hmm. for people to be able to be on the Survivor finale.
Yeah. Dr. Mike, yeah, this is actually, okay, so you're onto something here. So are you saying that for the $215,000 that Sia spends on the advertising, meanwhile, Procter & Gamble is spending more than that for 30 seconds in the commercial breaks when everybody's getting up and walking out of the room?
Exactly. It's like, I mean, if I can spend just like, you know, I'd spend some money to advertise on Survivor as
Dr.
well.
Dr. Mike, like, you're
can
on.
You give
it, okay.
Dr. Mike Award?
Yeah, so give the, so next season, you have the Dr. Mike Z Urology Award, $15,000, just like how Sia started.
Yes, exactly.
Would you show up to the finale with a $15,000 check for the Z Urology Award on national television to present it to somebody? Isn't this the best advertising bang for your buck you can get?
I think it is. I think I'm into it. I mean, I think it is very clear who would get my award.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The only one that wants to be a cop at the finale.
I mean, I'm right? starting to think that this, maybe this might be the move for Rob Has a Podcast of how else are we going to reach 6 million Survivor fans that we'll have?
I actually think that's absolutely a great idea, Rob. I think you should give the Rob Has a Podcast award and... You know, I mean, you have good relationships. Tell them you want to give the Rob Has a Podcast award.
Yeah.
On the finale.
I mean, Sia started in. She only used to give $15,000 and get on the finale. Then did Sia raise the bar? Did she price everybody else out?
I don't know. Do you think Jeff said you have to give more money?
I don't know. Maybe were there too many people coming in with $15,000?
It's so... Yeah, I don't know. I think it's very interesting because I think... Sia has this great publicity. Like, everybody from Survivor loves Sia. It's millions upon millions of people. Nobody mm-hmm. even knows what she looks like.
Yeah, and Jeff talks you up. Yeah, if I did that, Jeff would be like, all right, Rob Cesternino, he's one of our former contestants. He does a podcast talking about Survivor. It's great. He talks to all the alumni. You should check it out. He's here. He's brought a check for $15,000 for one of them. I mean, that would be incredible promotion.
You should absolutely do that.
Yeah.
Do you have contacts to reach out to?
I'm gonna reach out to CBS.
He doesn't. I mean, I think Matt Van Wagenen listens to your podcasts, right?
I don't know. I'm not sure. I'm not sure who's listening to what. We don't dox our listeners, Dr. Mike. But I would say that this is maybe the best idea of 2019 so far.
You're welcome.
Yeah. Yeah, thank you. Thank you. But Dr. Mike, why does Heroes versus Healers versus Hustlers, Sia didn't watch the season. They didn't give you guys free tickets to go to Australia or Fiji.
So the rumor about Fiji is that at like the season 37 finale, somebody from my season went up to the Fiji people and were like, why didn't we get tickets to Fiji? And the answer was no one invited us to the finale.
Oh, so CBS screwed it up.
So I think somebody forgot to invite Fiji Airways to the finale of 35, so we didn't get tickets.
Punished. Yeah.
It's one email forgot to be sent. Mm-hmm. And
that's it. Nope. That's it.
Castaways lost it.
Yeah.
Did you see that Jack from this season is dating Elizabeth?
Yes.
From this season?
Well, so it was the, you know, Elizabeth was not at the finale. We really don't know why. I don't think that has come out why Elizabeth was not at the finale. I don't know if she was unhappy with how she was portrayed or she was, you know, boycotting something else or she just had it with Survivor. So she didn't go. And then also Jack didn't go. And I'm guessing in solidarity for Elizabeth. But yes, we have our only Survivor couple here from Survivor 39 of Jack and Elizabeth.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Hold on. I do want to go back to the Sia thing because why does Jamal only get $15,000? Like, and is that fair? Like, why did Jeff Probst and Survivor let that happen? It's not really fair. Like, I mean, should Sia be able to give three prizes out and give differing amounts to different people? Like, it's like Jamal has been in judgment by Sia and only deserves 15, but Janet and who was the other one that got 100?
Elaine.
And Elaine both get 100? What did Elaine was a wonderful person, yes, but what did Elaine do that was so much more amazing than Jamal?
I don't know, Dr. Mike, but that Sia has given out different prize money before. She gave $100,000 to Rick Devins. Then she gave $15,000 to Aurora. She then also gave $15,000 to Joe last season. So again, we don't know the rubric for how to win the Sia grand prize.
Yeah, I just don't know. I think there needs to be a rubric, I guess, is my point, right? Mm-hmm. There shouldn't just be, oh, well, I like them.
Yeah.
And, you know, once the sea of money becomes like a real thing, which I guess it is, I mean, hundreds of thousands of dollars are exchanging hands. Like, there should be a way to compete for this.
Yeah.
The good news is for season 40, you could turn in your remaining fire tokens for real sea of money.
Is that what it is? It's like,
I think so.
You cash out, get all your fire tokens and pay out in sea of money.
If all you have to do is save the chickens, then if I ever go back,
it's not just about chickens anymore, because Big Wendy didn't get any money last season.
Yeah. I think Wendy's, though, I think that was like so transparent that Sia was like, I'm not going to just start rewarding people for saving the chickens. Like, it's almost like she was going for the Sia money. If you try to get it, you're not going to get it.
Why didn't Nora win any Sia money?
I want an interview with Sia so we can get in her head and we can find out what's going on here. Maybe we can sort of like get the Sia the day after the finale. She explains exactly what she was thinking. And then maybe touch base like during the season, maybe who's in the front runner position.
She's actually, I actually already booked her as the premier guest for Twitch on season 40.
You want me to try to help you get Sia? We can ask around and see if we can get Sia.
Yeah. Okay. I'll see if I'll text Rick Devins and see if he still has her contact info. Then we'll see if we can get Sia on the podcast to talk about this. Dr. Mike, any thoughts on Tommy's win?
I'm going to do my best to try to get Sia for you.
Yes, please. Yes.
I mean, have you ever had Jeff Probst on the podcast?
A long time ago.
I mean, maybe we should try to get him too.
Sure.
He can be the first guest of the Ziggle Room.
Sia and Jeff Probst on the same episode, or is it just Jeff and Sia have their own episodes?
I think they're deserving of their own episodes.
Okay. That's fine. I'm just trying to understand where you come from a programming standpoint. Any thoughts on Tommy's win, Dr. Mike?
Well, let me ask you this. Did Tommy do, like, I guess watching the season, was it Lauren's moves that, and Tommy was his sidekick, or were they equals in this?
I think it's hard to say. I mean, we didn't get those conversations, so we don't know. What I can say is that in talking with people from the cast, I think that a lot of people felt like that, okay, Tommy is, you know, the person who is the pawn, and Lauren is running things. And I think that that was the overall perception. But I think that, you know, it is reasonable to wonder, you know, how much was that also that Tommy wanted that to be the case and did not want to take credit for anything because he felt like that, you know, in the same way that he wasn't going all out in challenges and wasn't trying to go to the Island of the Idols, how much of his game was just trying to downplay his threat level at all times?
Well, do you think everybody tries in the challenges? I don't buy that anybody lets other people win in the challenges. I really, like, it's very hard to do.
Mm-hmm.
But then the other thing I was going to say is, yeah, it is interesting that Tommy never went to Island of the Idols. What I think is very interesting about this season, though, is that I felt like they stacked this season to get a female winner.
Mm-hmm.
They put so many strong females on this cast.
Yep.
Amazing women on this cast. And no offense to the guys, but I don't feel like the guys were at the same like amazingness as these women.
Mm-hmm.
And yet still a guy won.
Yeah.
You know? And I think, yeah, I don't quite understand it. I feel like it's almost like the women, yeah, I don't know why. I don't know why. What do you guys think?
Why didn't a woman end up winning?
Yeah, well, I mean, why hasn't a woman won in so long? And somebody tweeted that there was, like, literally since Fire Making,
mm-hmm. in season 35,
one woman on the jury,
mm-hmm.
and a total of like 2 votes to go to any woman on the jury. I mean, any woman on there. in the final three since season 35 or something crazy like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And there's always a woman in the final three.
Well, I think it's complicated for a few different reasons. I don't think this is just like one specific thing. I do think that the final four fire making challenge did sort of change how far it, or how easy it is for a woman to make the final three. Because I do think that that is a contest which is traditionally favored men. I think it might have to do more with, you know, what, you know, maybe someplace else to look might be in the, we changed the jury format also in season 34 to go to everybody's able to sort of like jump in and everybody's able to ask questions. And I wonder if this, that has led to more of the female finalists getting piled on as well. I know that Sarah Lacina did win the first one over Brad Culpepper. And I think that her win as we're looking ahead to season 40 might end up being kind of an underrated win and how well she was able to do and win people over in her final tribal council. But I wonder maybe if that group format of instead of answering questions one-on-one has led to where we've seen different female finalists get piled on there by the jury in sort of like the group questioning format. And that was something that Nora even talked about in her interviews where that she felt like that she was berated by the jury. And I was actually very upset. And it didn't make the show, but it was something that she talked about in different interviews.
Interesting. Yeah, I mean, I think it's concerning that the women are not even winning, not just not winning, but not even getting votes. And I think it's, you know, obviously it takes a lot to get there, regardless of how you play. It takes a lot to get there. And you would think that some, like, at some point, these people would be able to show their game and get votes, you know? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Dr. Mike, one thing I did want to ask you about from this finale was Janet was idol nullified out of the game at the final five. And Jeff
was she allowed to use, was he allowed to use that idol nullifier past six?
Past six? Yeah, it was to get to five. Five was when it expired. Yes. I mean, that's what it was.
Okay, I thought the idol nullifier stopped at six.
No, I think that it went to Jordan. Do you have any insight into this? But I'm pretty sure it went until five because that's when idols go.
I'm pretty sure it was the final five. And again, it makes sense that the limit to using the idol nullifier would be the same as the idol. And I think that was the problem with this. I mean, obviously, you know, we didn't have a final six vote. And, you know, obviously what, you know, Dan should have been pulled at the final six. That was, I mean, he should have been pulled earlier. But that was the correct decision. However, that put Janet in a really tough spot because it didn't allow Dean to play his idol nullifier incorrectly. There was only one tribal that he went to where he could have used the nullifier.
Yeah, I agree.
Well, I guess the final seven he could have actually he had it before the final seven, but I think it was pretty obvious that he didn't need to use it to get Elaine out.
So, Dr. Mike, what I wanted to ask you about was that when you and I first spoke in person at the Heroes versus Healers versus Hustlers finale, you said, hey, there needs to be a way to stop all these idols, that there needs to be, I like the final four fire making, but there should be at least a round where you can stop somebody from having idols. Ben went on a run, found idols, and ultimately got to final four fire making, won the fire, and then got to the end. And you had said that there needs to be a way to stop these idols. And I do think that that was the idol nullifier coming into the game was a response to this sort of idea. Janet said, hey, what is an idol nullifier doing in the game at the final five? There has no business being an idol nullifier this late in the game. Sure, I could see it at the beginning of the merge, like in David versus Goliath, when final nine, final eight, sure, whatever. But get it out of there for the final five. So, Dr. Mike, I wanted to see come back to you and say, should there be an idol nullifier in the game this late?
It's a great question. I think there's a few answers here. First, I have no problem with an idol nullifier. I actually really like the concept of an idol nullifier. I think that it needs to be known that the idol nullifier exists in the game, though. And so maybe moving forward, because it's now been, I think, on two seasons, it's everybody will know idol nullifiers exist, which means you can't open your mouth and tell people you have an idol. You better keep it secret. You better not be showing it to people because there's a way to play against that idol and you can still go home.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I think in this, so I got no problem with the idol nullifier. I got no problem with it going till five. I think in this situation, there were so many issues around the final, like votes 7-6-5, mm-hmm. and the order that it took place in. And so I think because of that, everybody just wanted Janet to win. You know, it's almost like you don't want the idols to be used when the person you like goes home, and you don't want the idol nullifiers to be used when the person you like goes home.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm okay with Janet going home with an idol nullifier if I felt like the sequence of events had been correct, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah. So should we announce like, hey, this season there will be an idol nullifier in play, or is it at the merge that you can account for that, where maybe Janet isn't saying, like proposing like, hey, I should get all the votes on me and then I'll play my idol, where then she knows, well, Jeff did say there was an idol nullifier this season. It hasn't come up. So maybe I shouldn't do that plan.
Yeah, I believe like in going into any game, you should know the rules of the game.
I think that's fair. I think that's fair. I like that. So if they have an idol nullifier again, announce that it's going to be out there so people don't do crazy stuff and then, you know, get votes on them. Although Boston right. Rob did say, you should never get the votes put on you, even if you have a real legacy advantage.
And that's, my wife says the same thing. She's mm-hmm. like, never do that. Never do that.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like, you know, I think once you guys said, well, who really got screwed at 35 in season 35 because they didn't know about the fire making challenge. And the answer was, you know, was me, right?
Like, yes.
It's in not knowing about the fire making challenge. I still want to go with the flow
mm-hmm.
and not deal with Devin being mad at me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because Devin would have then been really mad at me and gone off the rails. And so I vote for Bennett, you know, at final five
mm-hmm.
when, you know, obviously I understand the numbers. I knew what I should have done, but I had a reason for doing it this way because I, you know, and so I'm the one that eventually ends up getting screwed and not knowing about that fire making.
Yeah.
And it's, so I just believe that people, you should know the rules of the game. You shouldn't, like, you're out there for so long. At least we should know the rules of the game. Like, in other words, the Island of the Idols was a secret, right? Mm-hmm. Like, in other words, like, they didn't even tell people that people were being like, oh, let's go for a walk. But really, you're going to Island of the Idols and we're giving you an advantage.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Like, that wouldn't be fair. You should at least know the thing exists.
Okay. Dr. Mike, I want to ask you one other thing with season 39 that... After this week, that one contestant has gone to do something that is not necessarily the norm, that Dean Kowalski, a.k.a. DK Chillin, has started a number of eBay auctions. Dr. Mike, are you familiar with the online auction site eBay?
I am familiar with eBay, yes. Yes. I follow him on Instagram, and I think I saw that he posted his underwear.
Yes. So I wanted to ask you, as America's favorite urologist, Dean Kowalski, game-worn underwear, season 39, Island of the Idols, is up for auction. 19 bids have been placed for the aforementioned Dean Kowalski game-worn underwear. Dr. Mike, would you hazard a guess what the there's still 5 days left in this auction as of recording time, what the auction is up to for Dean Kowalski game worn underwear?
Okay, I have three comments here. The first comment is that I bet it's going more than my
your torch
Skype, my Skype interview.
Yes, yes. Oh, like, you did a Skype interview with Angelina. How much are yours to go for?
I don't know. I don't think it's gone for, but like maybe like $60, which is also funny because people come to see me as patients, right? Like mm-hmm. they come, they wait hours to see me
yeah.
and they pay quintuple that, you mm-hmm. know, to come and see me for my medical advice. But Angelina does an auction for it and it's like $50 or something. Mm-hmm. And I'm happy to support her Angelina.
Yeah.
But it's just funny. It's also, it's like all these people doing cameos. Like somebody once said to me, oh, Mike, you should really stay socially relevant and get yourself on Cameo. I'm like, you don't want to know my hourly fee.
Yeah.
Like, don't you feel like you minimize your value by putting yourself on Cameo for $25?
I mean, I'm not on Cameo, Dr. Mike. So you'd have to ask somebody else.
Yeah, I think, Rob, you and I should go on Cameo for like
$2,000. $2,000? Yeah.
If somebody wants me, I'll give them something really good for $2,000.
I always say that, you know, that's the move. I should do that just to show the patrons what a good value they're getting.
Exactly. I think you actually absolutely should.
Yeah. So, Dr. Mike, the game worn underwear from Dean Kowalski up to $710.
Wow. That's a lot of money. I think, you know, the other person, the only other person I've seen talk about her underwear and people bidding on it
mm-hmm.
is Andrea.
Yes.
So you got to ask Andrea what people offered her for her underwear. And why would Dean want to be in the same category of like, do you really want to give your underwear to somebody that's willing to pay $700 for it?
Well, Dr. Mike, I just wanted to ask you, as America's favorite urologist, are there any health issues involved with people getting game-worn Survivor underwear?
And did he wear it? I mean, did he wash it?
I don't know. I don't know, would that increase or decrease the value? There's very little description.
I think for the people bidding on this, it would definitely decrease the value.
Dean Kowalski, game-worn underwear, season 39, Island of the Idols, shipped with USPS first class package. I feel like that the USPS should be involved here on insisting that these be washed. I mean, right? I mean, like, aren't there certain rules like to send like biohazards through the mail?
That's true. That's true. Or at least be in like an insulated container.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, shouldn't
Tupperware.
These people be like, I don't want to say the wrong thing here, but shouldn't these people be like, should it be even allowed? Like these people, like,
I don't know. Is it like,
I'm thinking so many.
To your point, Dr. Mike, Dean is selling.
People listen to your podcast.
Dean is selling several articles of clothing. If you could say, the underwear is memorabilia, but the underwear is the
most expensive. Is it going for the most?
Yeah, is the most expensive. His pants have one bid. His sneakers are at $150. I don't know. It seems like he has two pairs of sneakers.
Are these not the Dean sneakers that he had wrapped around his neck?
No, the Dean sneakers, are going for $450. His shirt is $255. His jacket is $155. The underwear, most bids and most amount of money. There you go. All right.
I think they should look at who's bidding on this underwear.
Yeah.
And give those, wonder who those people are.
All right.
Like every time you always promote me or you're like, you guys should follow Dr. Mike on Twitter. He's so funny, blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want the people bidding on the underwear following me on Twitter. Do not follow me. If I know you're bidding on the underwear.
Unfollow if you're already following.
Yeah. Unfollow me. I don't want anything to do with you.
All right. Dr. Mike, with that, I'd love to hear about season 40 of Survivor. I know you're very excited, Dr. Mike, to get into it. I saw you recently posted. All I'm saying is if at Dreeberg and Ben win season 40, I'm the fifth best Survivor player ever. Don't at me. Hashtag.
Drop the mic. Boom.
Yes. So, Dr. Mike, can you walk us through the math there? If Ben wins season 40, you're the fifth best Survivor. Because that means your season was the best season ever?
No, it means that I competed against.
And Chrissy is the second best Survivor, and then Ryan is the third best Survivor, and Devin Pinto is the fourth best Survivor, and you're the fifth best Survivor?
Well, I don't necessarily agree with any of those other comments. I do agree that I'd be the fifth best Survivor.
So I have a question. Does that mean that Burton is currently the fifth best Survivor? Because Sandra's the only player who's won twice, and he was fifth place on Sandra's first season.
I Maybe.
No, no. Could you just talk? Was there? Did you have like a calculation of why you're the fifth best survivor?
Can't I just be the fifth best survivor?
I guess so. I mean, could you be the fifth best survivor if Ben didn't win?
I guess so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Why don't I just claim that? I don't have to be the first best survivor ever. Mm-hmm. I don't like. There are plenty
a lot of pressure. It's a lot of pressure.
Yeah, right. There are plenty of really good like baseball players.
Yeah.
And which is why I don't play. Like, I could never be the best baseball player. I can never be the fifth best baseball player. I can never be the. But I'm happy to be the fifth best survivor player.
Okay.
I might change my profile to that on social media.
Mm-hmm.
The Mike Sahalski, urologist, fifth best survivor player ever.
Yeah.
I think you want to go fourth best though, because then you could be on the Mount Rushmore. You don't want to be just off the Mount Rushmore. That's like the person who comes in fourth place in the Olympics. You're just off the medal podium.
Good point. Good point. Bob, can you give me an award?
What award would you like?
I don't want to see
him. I mean, I've already given you America's favorite urologist.
Can you give me the award for being the Rob has a podcast fourth best survivor player ever?
Fourth best survivor player ever?
Yes.
Boy.
Rob,
yeah.
I'm going to hang up if you don't. I'm gonna hang up right now.
All right, fine. Fourth best survivor player ever. Dr. Mike, here we go.
Tweets, baby, tweets. They're so shiny and glistening. And I'm a vegan orphan, in case Sia is listening. Tweets.
Okay.
I need it to be like, what's their award called? The Rob Has a Podcast Award?
We'll work on that. We'll work on that.
No, right now.
Right.
I want the award right now.
Yeah. Okay. I would say why don't we name the award after you? The Dr. Mike Sahalski Award for Survivor Achievement.
Perfect. And then every season, somebody can get that. Like, in every continuing season, somebody can get the I placed basically fifth, but I'm actually the fourth best player ever award.
Okay.
Okay.
Wait, who are we knocking out? Who are we knocking out of the top five? To make
from
you four.
My season?
Yeah, well, you said you placed fifth, but now you're fourth. And is this only contingent on if Ben wins season 40?
No, I'm fourth best ever, no matter what.
No matter what.
That's what you just said. That's what you get, the award you gave me.
Okay.
The award you
I mean,
gave
I would
me
say it was that. Under duress that you did say you were going to hang up if I didn't give you that award.
Did I get the award?
Yes.
Okay. So this is like...
Yeah. Dr. Mike, stay with me here. Ethan Zahn is back also this season for season 40. And another one of your favorites. Are you pumped up to see your son's namesake, Ethan Zahn?
I am real. So, okay, let's talk about, before we talk about 40, let's talk about 40.
Yeah.
I am so excited about 40. I think 40 is going to be amazing. It's going to be an amazing season. And yeah, I think every season 40 player that I've spoken to has said that it's going to be the best season ever of Survivor.
Even better than season 35, Heroes versus Healers versus Hustlers?
Joe made it very clear to everybody that our season sucked.
Yeah.
But so I don't think we thought that our season was going to be good.
Yeah.
But season 40, every player is like, this season was crazy. It is going to be amazing.
Okay. An amazing and crazy season coming up for season number 40. Anybody else you're especially excited to see? Your friend Ben, Ethan.
So I want Ethan and Ben in the final two.
Mm-hmm.
I want Ethan and Ben in the final two. I think those two should be, I hope they bond over Dr. Mike.
Mm-hmm.
They become friends and they're in the final two together.
Mm-hmm.
That's, you want to bet me?
Do I get the field? I mean, it won't be a final three.
Fine.
I mean, do I have to give you odds? That I mean, I feel like that just like statistically, I feel like that it's a great bet for me. Now, unless you're spoiled, I feel like it's a great bet for me to take that. You know,
I'm 100% not spoiled.
That Ethan and Ben won't both be in the final three.
I mean, I think that would be awesome, though. I think that would be awesome.
So
I've been saying this, right? I've been saying this to my wife, and then both of them had a line in the 40 preview.
Yes, you put a lot of stock into the commercial.
Look, so excited.
Okay.
No, I think it's gonna. You know what's interesting about 40 that I realized?
What's that?
Is that in Survivor history, we keep looking at the age, like the age of all, the average age of the player keeps going down and down and down. Mm-hmm. I feel like. But with 40, it seems like the average age of the player is probably much higher and possibly the highest it's ever been.
Mm-hmm.
Has anybody looked at that?
I'm not sure. I'm sure that that people have made that observation. I'm not sure if people have done the math yet on that.
I remember Game Changers, the same thing was said about that. And obviously, when you have a full returnee season, there clearly it's people who are older than the last time they played. So I think that is definitely a safe bet.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Dr. Mike.
Hold on. I have another question about 40. And so typically, and I've heard it said on this podcast, that when there's a returnee season, a returnee versus newbie season.
Yes.
And first vote, newbies try to go after returnee, and the returnee wins. It's very rare to see a returnee go home on the first vote when somebody starts trying to get them out. Does that hold true to second time versus third or fourth time players? So in other words, would it be a mistake by a first time returnee to try to go after a second or third time returnee immediately?
It's interesting. I have to really I think it really would depend on the person.
Okay.
You know, I think there's probably people that are, you know, better players who've been brought back multiple times, and people that are worse players that have been back a bunch of times, and then, you know, better players that have played one time and worse players that played only one time.
Okay.
Okay.
You know, on All-Stars, there was the whole sentiment about going after the former winners, which, of course, in this season isn't really going to be a thing because everyone's a former winner. But I wonder if, like, people are going to start to look at the four-time and, you know, Boston Rob being a five-time player now as sort of like the winners of the winners because they've played Survivor so many times. Or is this something that it's maybe going to bring some of these more experienced players together as opposed to someone like Yule or Danny Boatwright, who's only played the game once? I think it will play a factor. I just don't know who it's going to benefit.
All right, Dr. Mike. We're talking about social media now. This week you had tweeted, "I am worried that a recent winner can never win Survivor 40. Since it's the edge of extinction, every player will be on the jury. How can a recent winner expect to vote for $2 million when competing against people that have been friends for 10 years? The interesting point.
So I guess my point on this is that it's one thing when you're competing out there, and Sandra got a lot of people, like, this tweet got a lot of attention.
Yes. Well, Sandra responded, $2 million equals no such thing as friends. But I think what you were saying is not necessarily in the game, but you're right. Talking about from a jury.
Exactly. So $2 million, I agree. There's no such thing as friends. You're fighting for $2 million. But once you've all lost,
mm-hmm.
when it goes back to not necessarily secret alliances, but friendships, where if, let's say Boston Rob is sitting there, and Sandra's been friends with him now for 10, 15 years. She's on the jury, and he's going against an Adam Klein that she's met twice.
Mm-hmm.
Who's she really? Like, she's been friends with this guy, and mm-hmm. she gets to decide who gets
right.
$2 million.
Knows his family, and so I think that's a very valid point that you make. But then again, you know, that, you know, if for whatever reason that one of them betrayed the other one in the game, that's going to factor into it. So I do think that gameplay is going to also be a factor. But I thought you also had an interesting point that you said, if the winner of 40 comes from the edge of extinction, does that make Chris Underwood a more legit winner?
Uh-huh. So in other words, do you think season 40, the winner of season 40 will be somebody from the edge of extinction or not? Or do you think that they're old school survivors, or the winners of Survivor will say, when you're voted out, you're voted out. you don't get a chance to get back in the game. So if you come into the game, you are not winning.
What we don't know is at what point they'll bring somebody back from the edge of extinction for season 40. And what I would hope is that they learn their lesson from season 38, which is always a very dangerous proposition. But what I would hope is that maybe they don't bring them back as late into the game. Maybe they bring them back even a vote earlier and bring them back from six going to and make it to a final six back to a final seven, or to especially don't give the person who comes back from the edge of extinction also an idol when they come back into the game the final six.
Maybe bring two people back from edge of extinction. Like, in other words, like bring like a male and a female back from edge of extinction.
Yeah.
And that way you can't just target them immediately on one vote.
Because I think it's also predictable that you're going to bring the person back, get to five, bring them back at six. I like the person who coming back at the merge. I think that that's always fun. And then let's see. But just don't bring them back so late and maybe don't give them an idol. And I think it'll be fine. I'll be happy to keep these people on the show for longer. Just a couple other quick tweets. Dr. Mike, Danielle DiLorenzo tweeted this week, "Put me back on Survivor. Third time's the charm." Danielle DiLorenzo campaigning for a return to Survivor. And then Jenna Lewis says, "Here, here, third time's the charm." Dr. Mike, does the open campaigning on Twitter work?
Hold on. Jenna Lewis has only been on Survivor once, right?
She's been on twice, Dr. Mike.
Jenna Lewis?
Yeah.
Wasn't she the one that went out with The Rock?
That's Jessica Lewis.
Oh.
Her sister.
Oh. Wait, can we go back for 1 second?
Sure.
I'm all confused.
Yeah.
Also, Julie Sokolowski, whatever her name is, I saw her tweet the same thing, put me back on Survivor.
Yeah, I think that's all you have to do.
I don't campaign about it on social media. I am happy to go back and beat all of them.
I mean, you are the fourth best Survivor player of all time.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
You're here.
You're here. All right.
Yeah, I don't think Twitter. Do you think people are actually paying attention to this stuff on Twitter?
I don't know. Perhaps like there's somebody from casting that's like, oh, okay, that's interesting. Like, let's check in with them next time we do call all the survivors.
But see, you're skipping ahead from 40 to 42 now, Rob. Can we go back to 40?
Sure.
Who do you think the Secret Alliance, who has Secret Alliances in 40? Can you answer that?
I mean, probably everybody.
Okay. I have no Secret Alliances with anybody.
But you're not on a season. Yeah.
Thanks for rubbing it in.
Well, you're bragging about how you don't have a pregame alliance and you're not on it in a game. I don't have any Secret Alliances either.
Yeah, Mike, now that people know that you're the fourth best Survivor contestant of all time, that puts a big target on your back if you were to play again. I think we should keep this under wraps.
See, here's the thing. Was that RHAP or wraps, really?
Yeah.
I mean, here's the thing. The interesting thing is that I don't think it puts a bigger target on my head than I already have. I don't think that puts a target on my head.
I don't think you're a big target, despite being the fourth best Survivor player of all time.
I agree. It's amazing.
So I wouldn't,
despite me telling them not to underestimate me.
Yeah,
I guess they're still underestimating me.
I think you're fine, Dr. Mike. So yeah, I don't think you need the massive pregame alliance.
Yeah, I agree.
Mm-hmm.
I agree. So I heard, was Parvati in Ethan Zahn's wedding party?
Was Parvati in Ethan Zahn's wedding party? I have no idea.
I have no idea. Somebody said that to me the other day, and I was like,
I mean, but they've known each other for a very long time.
Uh-huh.
They're, I assume, good friends. I don't know anything about anybody being in anybody else's wedding party. I mean, okay. I heard that Rob and Amber have been married for like 15 years.
I think that
they might have a pregame alliance also.
I heard that. I bet they knew that each other were going out there.
Mm-hmm. They probably are working together.
Don't you sort of want Sandra to win? I mean,
be exciting.
Yes, I want Ben to win. Yes, I want Ethan to win. Yes, that's my final 2 out of 3. But if Sandra wins, she legit can say she's the best player of all time hands down, no one will ever be better than her.
Yeah, I think that's
for sure.
Queen stays queen. Get that? Makes sense.
It'll be interesting to see who, if Sandra does not win the next season, and there that means there is another two-time winner in Survivor history. It'll be interesting to see the debate of who's a better two-time winner, Sandra or this other person. And obviously, it depends on who it is and how they play in this season. But I think, you know, going again, there could be a secret run-it-up Reno alliance. There's a lot of these guys: Tyson, Rob, Adam, Ben. Like, there's so many.
With all due respect, I mean, you think it's like, hey, we're all playing poker in this city for 3 days a year. This is our alliance. This is it.
Adam and Ben competed on This Week in Survivor History together.
I guess so. You don't know. You don't know what, you know, the way people
feel.
It's
like the Candy Crush alliance of 37.
There's a million things that you could, oh, these people, they go to Hearts of Reality. That's an alliance. You know, we'll see. We'll see how it plays. You'll make yourself crazy trying to figure out every sort of pregame alliance. Let me go back about
42, and basically I think people are campaigning about 42. I think
they are.
Well, I think Martin campaigning, not complaining, campaigning.
Yeah.
So I think sometimes Martin Holmes tweeted that 42 is sort of open. It might be returnees. Mm-hmm. And people look at 39 and how much of a cluster it was. And they're like, well, why wouldn't they want, they look at 39 about and how big a cluster it is. They look at 40 and say, everybody's so excited for 40. Why wouldn't you want to have people excited about 42 also? And I get it. And I think that's why people are starting to campaign on social media. And
maybe
one of the things that Martin Holmes wrote was that he thought Rob Cesternino would go back for 42.
No, that's not true.
Would he go back for 42?
Dr. Mike, first off, I don't even know what we're talking about anymore, that we're casting future seasons of Survivor. And now you're talking about there are rumors about me that I haven't even heard these rumors.
I read this rumor this morning.
Well, first off, Dr. Mike, I don't even know if there's a Survivor 41 at this point.
They said the casting was in full swing.
All right. Well, Dr. Mike, we're really getting off track here in terms of we're talking about Survivor tweets right now.
These are Survivor tweets.
No, you're getting into Survivor rumors.
Okay.
Like we just got to a season that we were waiting to talk about. And now you want to talk about seasons that haven't happened yet.
I just want to talk about you.
Okay. Dr. Mike, let me give you one more tweet and then let's get to the quiz.
Flustering Rob. Don't you guys love flustering Rob?
Yeah, it's great. Kentucky Nick Wilson says, Twitter searched Survivor Nick to find a screen grab of me last night. And yo, some people really hate me, but at least not as much as they hate Ben. P.S. Does anybody have a screenshot?
I saw that also. Why does everybody hate Ben?
Because that they felt like he found too many idols. That's what people feel like, that, hey, he wasn't going to win, felt like that he had the layup from production and felt like that production made it way too easy for him to just keep finding idols. You guys wanted to vote him out. And then because of all the twists and idols in the game that he was able to get to the end, and then he was able to win also with a fire making challenge. That was available to him. And so they felt like that he is almost like a representation of all of the things that people don't like about modern day Survivor. Too many idols, Final Four fire making twist. He was somebody who had it, you know, had a really great edit. And that's why people felt like that, you know, and it's not anything that Ben did. Good for Ben. Live your best life, Ben.
He wasn't going to win. Who was going to win?
Who was going to win? Yeah. I mean, who was going to win, Dr. Mike? You guys were there. You're going to vote him out.
Who was going to win, Rob?
If Ben didn't, I don't know. You were going to win? You know, I think some people are mad. Chrissy didn't win also on top of that as well.
I mean, okay.
Yeah. So, Dr. Mike, that's I think people are upset with Ben. So look, I'm a Ben fan and I'm a Nick fan. I like both those guys.
I think regardless of whether Ben should have or shouldn't have won my season, I think Ben has a ferocity that is almost unmatched in people that you meet, especially when they go out there for Survivor. I've met a lot of survivors. Ben has an intensity about him, especially when he's out there, that I don't think people can necessarily comprehend or get, you know? And I think that you saw it a little bit in Missy this season too, in that these military people, these ex-military people, they look at Survivor as a mission more than they look at Survivor, I believe, as like a game.
A party, yeah.
They're on a mission. And their mission is to win this money. And, you know, they're like, yeah, it's just he has this intensity about him that you know, doesn't necessarily translate on social media, but when you meet him, you'll understand.
And doesn't translate to fantasy football either. But we'll see. Anyway, Dr. Mike, Bryce Isaiah said to Nick Wilson, you should have searched Nicklicious. That would have been better tweets for Nick Wilson to find. All right.
How is Bryce Isaiah? I feel like Bryce, everybody loves Bryce's podcast.
Yes, yes. You included?
When I listen to it, I like it. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. Dr. Mike, we're going to get into the This Week in Survivor history quiz. I got to make short work of Dr. Mike in the Twitch quiz season finale. But first, I have to take a moment and thank a sponsor, and this is a sponsor that I'm very happy to have in the show, our friends over at Talkspace. We all know that mental health is a big part of self-care, but changing mental habits is easier said than done. Luckily, Talkspace online therapy gives you a convenient and affordable way to improve your mental health. Talkspace pairs you with one of 5,000 plus licensed therapists based on your needs and preferences. Connect with your therapist via text, audio, picture, or video messages on the same day that you match, and your therapist will message you daily 5 days a week. No office trips or appointments to schedule. So Talkspace is an affordable option that gives you a month of anytime access for the price of one in-person therapy session with an expertise with specialties including depression, anxiety, substance abuse, trauma, relationships, and more. And it's also clinically proven. In an academic study, Talkspace users reported a 50% drop in anxiety after 3 months, and 80% of participants in another study said Talkspace was as effective or more effective than in-person therapy. It is secure and encrypted and private with confidential support of a dedicated therapist from the privacy of your device anywhere, anytime. We all need help navigating life's ups and downs. Talkspace offers the support you need at an affordable price. Our listeners can get $100 off their first month using promo code RHAP at Talkspace.com. Match with a therapist for the fraction of a price of traditional therapy at Talkspace.com or download the app. Make sure you use promo code RHAP to get $100 off your first month. That's at Talkspace.com. Promo code RHAP. And let's get to our quiz here today for the final time in 2019, This Week in Survivor History quiz.
Twish.
Okay. All right. Jordan,
hold
are you ready?
On.
Yes.
Hold on.
Wait, hold on. Dr. Mike, what's up?
We've been through this before.
Yes.
There are a couple of requirements when I'm on a podcast with you.
Yes.
First one, of note, you haven't played my little clip of me screaming.
Okay, so Dr. Mike is being chased by bees.
But second, any appropriate challenge, you and I need proper introductions.
Yes.
And you're going to be Hulk Hogan and I'm going to be the Macho Man if we're going to compete on this.
Yeah.
Ooh, yeah. You're going down, Rob.
listen, brother, you didn't study your survivor history. You didn't read the history books. That's why Robomania is about to run wild on you, brother.
I've already told you. Every answer has to be either Ethan or Sandra. That wasn't.
I'm ripping my shirt in half. You can't see me right now. Also, okay, all right.
I don't know if this is real life anymore. Or if I'm just dreaming at this point. Also, I'm not really a Same. Wrestling guy. The only wrestler that I would know you doing impressions of would be John Hennigan. So I'm a little confused. But we are getting to the This Week in Survivor history quiz. Last one of the season. Very exciting way to finish this out with Dr. Mike here. Dr. Mike, so I'm going to explain to you how this quiz is going to work. I'm going to give, there are four multiple choice questions. Each of you get to answer two. If you get a multiple choice question right, you get 1 point. However, if you would like, you can actually not hear the multiple choice options. You can go for it without hearing the choices. If you're correct, you gain 2 points. However, if you are wrong and you go for two, your opponent gets to steal a point. Then at the end, we'll go to a final round where both players are able to gain points. And then if we need to go to a tiebreaker, we'll go to a tiebreaker. Does that make sense, Dr. Mike?
Sure. Thank you, Stephen.
All right. So the categories that we have for the multiple choice questions, and Dr. Mike, you'll get to choose the first one. We have winner, winner. Chicken was voted out way before this episode dinner. The game is not flawed. Today, redemption is spelled O-Z-Z-Y. And practice, we talking about practice.
Let's go with the first category.
Okay, winner, winner. Chicken was voted out way before this episode dinner. We're going to Survivor China, December 16th, 2007, 12 years ago, Monday. The China finale included two challenges, one reward and one for immunity, which were both won by the same person. Who won these challenges?
No. Aren't we just going with who the winner of China is?
That would be a trivia question. Maybe a little bit too easy for This Week in Survivor history. But the same person won the reward and immunity challenge in this episode. I could give you the multiple choice options if you would like.
I think it's Amanda.
Dr. Mike, you're off to a hot start. You didn't need the multiple choice options. Amanda is correct. You get 2 points there.
Did you know that, or are you just making? You just guessed.
What happened to her? She was really hot. I dug Amanda.
That was great.
I'm happily married, but you can follow me on Twitter. I mean, seriously, what happened to Amanda?
She played Heroes vs. Villains, and haven't heard much from her since. I believe she did do the Miss Survivor competition at one point, didn't she?
I mean, didn't like also like Stephanie LaGrosse. What happened to her? Like, didn't she
married baseball player?
Open a pizza place?
No, she married baseball player.
Okay,
we talked to her in Talking with T-Bird.
Okay,
yeah, okay.
Yeah, in the Survivor game of marrying baseball players, though, clear second place to Cole Hamels, to Heidi Hamels.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Dr. Mike's up 2-0. All right.
Yes, 2-0. Great job. Right. Rob, we have the game is not flawed. Today, redemption is spelled O-Z-Z-Y.
Let's do the game is not flawed.
Okay, we're going to Samoa. The episode's called The Game Ain't Over from December 20th, 2009, 10 years ago Friday.
Yeah.
Which two Samoa jurors cast Russell Hance's only two final tribal council votes to this point in his Survivor career?
I know that Shambo was one, and I think the other was, I will say, John Fincher.
John Fincher, husband of Survivor 40 contestant Parvati, and as we know, John Fincher is a poser, but he did vote for Russell Hance. Fincher and Shambo are correct.
Yeah.
Can
we get a John Fincher
well?
Loved ones visit in season 40? Is that possible?
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure if Parvati makes it, you would got to think that Fincher would be the loved one.
Why is Fincher a poser? Are you like jealous because you think Parvati's hot?
No, Jeff Probst called him a poser in the Survivor Samoa preseason.
So Alexa, my daughter, just joined, and she also thinks Parvati's cute, but she might do better at the Survivor questions than I would.
Okay. All right. If you need a pinch quizzer, then let's go with that. All right. My wife has an Orange Theory class to get to. All right. So let's keep going, Jordan.
All right, Dr. Mike, we have two more categories. We have today, redemption is spelled O-Z-Z-Y, and practice, we're talking about practice.
Let's do practice.
Okay, we're going to Survivor San Juan del Sur. The episode is called This Is My Time from December 17th, 2014, 5 years ago Tuesday. Who won the Final Five Reward Challenge, which gave this person the ability to practice the Final Five Immunity Challenge before competing? And again, you can go for two if you don't hear the options, but Rob would be able to steal, or you can hear the multiple choice options for 1 point and Rob can steal.
I'll take multiple choice.
Was it A, Jacqueline, B, Baylor, C, Keith, D, Natalie Anderson?
D, Natalie Anderson.
Natalie Anderson is incorrect. It was actually Keith who did win the ability to practice the table maze, and he won the Final Five immunity. Partly off the experience he got from that practice. So you don't get any points there. It is still a 2-2 game. And Rob, you get to answer the last multiple choice question. We are going to Survivor South Pacific from December 18th, 2011, 8 years ago Wednesday. Who did Ozzy defeat in the final Redemption Island Challenge of South Pacific?
It was Brandon Hance.
Brandon Hance is correct. So, Rob, you get another 2 points there. You have a 4-2 lead going into the final round. And, Dr. Mike, the way that this final round is going to work, I have four questions. They're also multiple choice, but there's only three options for these. There's no going for two. All these questions are worth one, so you'll hear the options. So what I have done is compiled a list of some Survivor episode titles from This Week in Survivor History. They're actually all finale episodes. I am going to read you the title of the episode, and you have to tell me what season it's from. And just as a note to both of you, there are clues in the names of these episodes, which season they might be from. There's a lot of Survivor episode titles, especially in the recent seasons.
These are all finales.
These are all finales, okay. Yes. And a lot of these episodes have generic titles, so I didn't use those. And Mike, the way that the final round works, if you get a question wrong, you don't get to gain any more points on this round. So since you were down 4-2, you need to get this question right in order to still be alive to win the quiz. So first, Mike, pick a number from 1 through 4.
Pick a number. Three.
Okay.
So number three, that decides the order for this round.
Yeah. Dr. Mike, are you with us on this final round? You got what's going on?
Yeah, I understand.
Okay.
So the episode is called Slip Through Your Fingers. Is this an episode from Cook Islands, Philippines, or Thailand?
Thailand.
Thailand is correct. And of course, that's alluding to the challenge.
You didn't know that. You're guessing.
Okay. You see me, though. It's not like I'm looking it up. I'm not cheating. I'm just a good guesser. It's better to be lucky than good.
Yeah. And that's why I... Yeah. Thailand, the final immunity challenge was when Brian, Jan, and Clay had to hold the coins in the middle of their fingers, and if the coins dropped, you were out of the challenge. So that was the clue there.
Okay.
Rob, the episode is called Thunderstorms and Sacrifice. Is this Guatemala, Vanuatu, or South Pacific?
It is Jordan's favorite season of Guatemala.
Guatemala is... correct. And of course,
he did not say Guatemala. He said Guatemala. That is not the same thing. He was sort of saying Guanamatu. He said Vanuatu.
It still counts. Rob has a five. Rob has a 5-3 lead. Guatemala, yeah. Thunderstorms and Sacrifice refers to the fact that the native Guatemalans came and sacrificed a chicken. The contestants ate it, and then there was a big thunderstorm. So maybe that was the survivor or the Guatemala.
And now Danny's back.
Danny's back, yeah. So very, very excited that there's finally a survivor contestant who started their career in Guatemala who's now back to play the show.
Dr. Mike, are you a Danny Boatwright fan?
I don't really remember who she is.
Okay.
Okay, so Dr. Mike, it goes to you now. The episode is Slippery Little Sucker. Is this Blood versus Water, China, or Pearl Islands?
Slippery Little Sucker. Could you repeat the question?
Yes. Is it from Blood versus Water, China, or Pearl Islands?
Blood versus Water.
Blood versus Water, unfortunately, Dr. Mike, is not correct. It's Survivor China. It's Courtney Yates talking about Todd, who is the winner of that season. So the final score here, Rob wins 5-3.
Oh.
What happens to me being able to get get his, steal his votes.
Steal his votes?
Steal his points.
What are you, a whammy?
You said I have the option of stealing his points. Sometimes.
Okay, Dr. Mike has the option to steal my points.
Okay, for a stolen point, you could steal, Dr. Mike, I'll give you one shot. You could steal one of Rob's points on this question. With great power comes great responsibility. We have David versus Goliath, heroes versus healers versus hustlers, or millennials versus Gen X.
I mean, I think that was me in heroes versus hustlers, but it's also Spider-Man.
Mm.
And, you know, I definitely said that, but I think probably somebody also said that in, what were the other options?
David versus Goliath or millennials versus Gen X.
David versus Goliath.
David versus Goliath is correct.
Oh,
so yes, that was Nick. Nick, who went on to win the season, and we'll see back on season 40, patron of Rob as a podcast, did say that they named the final episode after that quote. It is also from Spider-Man, of course. So yeah, I gave you the so now that you stole.
So that's a tie. Dr. Mike stole my point.
Well, I don't think that really counts. For the rules of the quiz, you can't.
What's the point score? Yeah. It's four, because who's the fourth best player in Survivor history?
Dr. Mike.
Boom.
So yeah, per the rules of the quiz, though, that really is not should not be allowed. But we could go to a tiebreaker.
So now I have to get it, or Dr. Mike will win.
Well, we go to a I had four of these prepared, so we go to a tie. Okay. We go to a double tiebreaker now, because
it's tied 4-4.
Is 4-4 with the fourth best player in Survivor history.
With the fourth best,
a 4-4 game. In Survivor history, and you were both going to, there's no multiple choice here,
mm-hmm.
You were both going to send me your answers. Rob, you could do it on Skype. Mike, you can DM me your answer on Twitter. Of all of the different numbers of jurors that we've had in Survivor history, what is the most common Survivor jury? So how many people are on the most common Survivor jury in the history of the show?
Wait, hold on. Are we looking for an average here? Or
no, it's not an average. It's the...
Nine.
It's,
the answer is nine.
So Mike is saying that nine is the most common number of people on a Survivor jury. Rob, what would you say?
I have to think for a minute here. If Mike's already locked in, there was a lot of sevens. Then there were a bunch of eights. There's some nines. Then we had tens. We had 13s. I will say that, are there more nines than sevens before we got to tens and, stuff like that? I'm going to say that, I feel like that we have sevens from, a lot of, I'll say seven.
Seven is correct. So Rob, you win the quiz 5-4. You get 1 point there. Yeah, the first 12 seasons were all seven person juries, and then Token Sheens was a seven person jury, and then also China Gabon and Ko Rang after Neil Gottlieb was taken off the jury. So yes, that is the most common. Nine was a good answer. There's nine instances in Survivor history in which we've had a nine person jury. So not a bad guess, Dr. Mike, but Rob is the winner of the quiz.
Okay. All right. That was close, Dr. Mike.
Rob,
it really took me to the brink.
Can I do your red carpet interviews at season 40?
You know, Dr. Mike, it's so wild and crazy there. Why do you want to do the red carpet interviews?
I just want to be at the finale.
Okay. 40. Well, I'm sure there are ways to make that happen. I saw a lot of survivors at the season 39 finale. Kellen was there. I saw Albert was there. Brett LaBelle was there. Tim Bertina was there.
In the audience?
Yeah.
Wow.
Krista Hasty was there. Amber Berkich Mariano was there. I'm not sure if she's at Berkich Mariano or just Mariano. So there was a lot of survivors in attendance.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, Ben Driebergen won't give you one of his finale guest passes.
I haven't asked anybody but you.
Okay. All right. I'm sure. I mean, who else are you tight with from season 40?
I think that's it.
Okay.
I mean, I'm friends with one. I think.
All right. We'll see.
You know, I I get drunk and I text.
Dr. Mike, we play another game here after the Twitch quiz every week. It's called the Who's the First Survivor You Followed on Twitter game. So who do you think is the first survivor you, Dr. Mike, followed on Twitter?
Ben.
No, it was John Cochran. John Cochran, a winner of Survivor, who is not going to be on the next season. But Boston Rob was the one after that.
How do you know that?
I scrolled down. I go to your followers and I scroll all the way down.
Oh, is it in order?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, because I only got Twitter after my season. And it pisses me off. I'll tell you what pisses me the most off. I follow a survivor on any media platform and they don't follow me back, it pisses me off.
Understandable, Dr. Mike, but, you know, haters gonna hate.
Yeah, that's funny. And John Cochran did not follow me back.
Oh, what a shocker.
And I
can't believe that.
I'm still mad about it.
Yeah.
My wife said he was nice. She met him at the finale.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Why do you think he was? And so do you think that, you know, I saw this article about people being offended, like whether or not they were snubbed by not being on 40.
There's an article about people being snubbed by not being. Well, who was in the article?
Well, just the other 18 finalists, like other 18 winners, and whether or not they should be offended.
I'm sure a couple of them said no, and some of them didn't get asked.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what's the question here?
No, I just think it's interesting. Like, I would have thought, like, for instance, Jenna, I could see her being mad, you know?
I'm sure she probably is mad.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you were one of a handful of people that have won the game and they did a season called, you know, people that won the game, then, yeah, I think you'd be annoyed if you didn't make the cut. It seems like that if you had like a 50-50 chance to go and they said, no, not you, I can understand.
Yeah. Especially now that it's 2 million.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm sure Mike Holloway would have loved to have gone. I know Tina would have loved to have gone. Vesepi, I think, would have loved to have gone. Richard Hatch would have liked to have gone. So, yeah, if you were a winner and you didn't get asked to go, yeah, I think you'd be kind of annoyed.
Rob, if we go out there together in 42, are you going to vote me out?
No, I'm going to the final three with you, Dr. Mike.
As you should. As you should.
Yeah. that is my word, but Dr. Mike.
Okay. And I will take you somewhere. I don't know. Yeah. Do you know how to make fire?
No, I don't.
We need a fire making contest together. Yeah.
Rob's been practicing fire in his backyard every day since they added that twist.
Yeah.
Rob, why doesn't your wife like me?
Why do you say she doesn't like you?
I've never met her.
I mean,
I've never spoken to her.
Okay.
I remember red carpet. You asked me out.
Mm-hmm.
You're like, we should get together. And then.
Well, just to go back to Christmas time 2017, everybody in my family was like deathly ill from, you know, that we were just like Christmas 2017 was like a complete wipeout over here. Everybody was very sick. So that my wife does not care for everybody, but you are definitely not on the no fly list, Dr. Mike.
Okay, good. Okay, are we done here?
Yeah, we're done here. Okay. Dr. Mike, anything to plug?
I do actually have something to plug. I forgot.
Yes, follow at Mike Zahalski. If he follows you, please follow him back, especially if you're a survivor.
Dr. Mike will be the first guest host of the Know-It-Alls next season. I'm plugging it right now.
Is that official?
Is it?
I didn't say that.
You know I don't hold back.
Yeah.
Right? Like,
yes.
You get real unadulterated commentary.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, nobody has ever accused Dr. Mike of holding back.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. All right.
That's it. That's all I have.
That's all we have for that.
I love coming. Thanks for having me. Happy to be here.
All right, Dr. Mike. There you have it. Dr. Mike, everybody. Season finale of This Week in Survivor History. Jordan, anything else coming up for you these over the holidays? Happy Hanukkah to both of you.
Oh, thank you. Yes, looking forward to Hanukkah. Starts tonight. Is Twitch going to be out? Is going to be out tonight, first night of Hanukkah?
Yes.
Well, oh, wow. So, okay, so that's our Hanukkah present to all of you. Happy holidays and happy New Year coming up. And Dr. Mike, thank you so much for coming on and doing this podcast.
It's my pleasure. Thanks, Jordan. And okay. I love our Spaceballs connection. Could you guys send me a pic so I can like post it about this stuff?
A pic, or can we just send you the link?
Yeah, that's perfect.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. We'll send the link to Dr. Mike, of course. Jordan, great work all season long. Of course.
Hey, Jordan, you're amazing, Jordan.
Thank you, Dr. Mike. And it's been so much fun. Again, I say this after every season. It's you know, going back and writing the questions is a lot of fun, and then coming on and recording every week. We've had so many great guests, and you know, maybe a rough season of Survivor for sure, but the podcast always makes it a lot better. So it's great being part of the RHAP community, and I'm looking forward to next season, even though there's Edge of Extinction.
All right, there you go. All right, thank you so much, Jordan. Thank you so much, Dr. Mike. Of course, that we have a lot going on all off season long in our Rob's Podcast patron group. Did a 3.5-hour Facebook Friday this weekend. Yes.
So,
yes,
Dr. Mike. I don't think we did answer the question. Do you guys think the winner will come from Edge of Extinction?
I would doubt it. I don't think so. Not this time.
Yeah, I would be shocked. I think that you made a good point in that the person who does come back from Edge of Extinction gets to the end, even though they will have the relationship with all the jurors from living with them on Edge of Extinction, I think it's less likely that all winners would vote for someone who's been voted out of the game, even though I don't think it's impossible because a lot of the returning players that were on the jury of Edge of Extinction voted for Chris to win. So I think, you know, your mentality has changed out there from, you know, the lack of food and from living with these people and making connections. But I think it's even less likely that the person who comes back will even make it to the end based on what Chris was able to do. And I hope, Rob, what you said before about production learning their lesson from giving someone an idol who comes back into the game, that's already an advantage enough. They don't need to have something. If they're able to, you know, make the necessary moves and make the social bonds to get themselves to the end, that's, you know, I still don't love it, but I mean, that's part of the game. But they don't need an idol on top of that.
RobIsWebsite.com/patron. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.
Bye, guys. Survivor know it all.